You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
We are in a series called Mind the Gap. Somebody say, Mind the Gap. Mind the Gap. We are taking the series out of 1 Thessalonians 3:10 when Paul prays for the church and he says, listen, I'm praying for a time when I can come together with you to help fill the gaps in your faith, to help fill the gaps in your faith. So Paul knows that there is a gap. There's always going to be multiple gaps in all of our faith. There's going to be places where we need to grow. A gap is a space, right? It's a space that often indicates weakness. It's a space where sometimes the enemy can get in. It's a space because of a lack right there. There's not strength. There's not stability. We need to pay attention to the gaps. And so Paul says, hey, listen, we want to fill the gaps. I want to help you fill the gaps. And that's what this series is about looking at our lives because when it comes to the gap, there's always a gap between our character and the character of Christ. There's always a gap between our head and our heart. There's always a gap between where we are right now and where we need to be. The Lord is always calling us to a different place. Wherever we're at today, there's always another step that he's taking us to. And so in this series, we're looking at how we can continue to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to fill the gaps. This is not a series just about, hey, let's try harder. Let's just add up more things on the list so that we could feel worse about ourselves, how we're not doing. No. This is a series about let's see the gaps and let's cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who is the gap filler, to see them filled, right? And so oftentimes what we can do is we can ignore the things that need to be paid attention to, and we're not going to ignore them. We're done ignoring. We're now going to see what God wants to do and cooperate with him. And 2 weeks ago, as we started the series, we talked about just why change? Why do we need to change? And how we can begin to cooperate with the Lord in that. Last week, Pastor Roger, thank you, sir, for brought and spoke to us about the gap in our character. And this week, we're going to talk about the gap in our knowledge. Now, the outline that we're using for this series comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And we'll probably read this every time over the next couple of weeks. So by the end of it, you'll have a verse or two memorized, hopefully. So well, let's just read this together. Let's do that as a practice. Is it up there for this very reason? Okay, here we go. For this very reason, read it with me, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Peter says here there are seven, he lists for us seven areas that we tend to have gaps in. Seven areas where we need to grow. Seven areas that are opportunities for us to become more like Jesus. Now this week we're going to talk about that area of knowledge. He says add to your goodness, add to your character, add to your moral excellence, knowledge. Hosea says in the Old Testament, he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Is what it says in the Message translation. It says, my people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true. They're ruined. Isn't that true that if you don't really know what's right, you can get yourself into some big trouble? Because, he says, you've turned your back on knowledge. I've turned my back on you priests. He's talking to the church in the Old Testament. Because you refuse to recognize the revelation of God, I'm no longer recognizing your children. Some pretty significant words from the Father. He says, listen, when you turn your back on knowledge, I pay attention to that. There's something that you need to do to make sure that you don't reject knowledge. Now, what knowledge is he talking about? He's talking about the knowledge of God. Now, don't you know that in our culture today, we have this tendency and this problem that we know some things about the Lord, and yet we're just turning around and we're going in the other direction completely. I am so, as you are, I know so many times we are shocked by what we're seeing around us. Like, we know what's right. We know what's good. It doesn't make sense that we're doing this, and yet we're doing, it seems to be, just the opposite of what is right and what is good. Harvard, many of you saw recently in the news probably that they appointed a head chaplain. Harvard University originally was founded for pastors. It was a seminary. And here now, almost 400 years later after their founding, they have appointed a chaplain who's the lead chaplain of all the chaplains who is an atheist. Now, it seems interesting to me. There's stories there and there's backstories, and I don't want to oversimplify, but it seems interesting to me that you have a chaplain who is in charge of basically the spiritual care of a student body, and he doesn't believe in God. Perhaps this is a little bit about what Hosea is talking about when he says, listen, when you turn your back on knowledge of God, if you refuse to recognize his revelation, there's going to be some trouble. Now, there's things that we know that it's to our peril that we ignore them. And then there's also things in our life that we don't know that can get us into trouble, right? Have you had the experience of just you wish you would have known? It would have saved you a lot of pain. And we've all had that experience. Man, if you just would have told me, or if I just would have asked the question, I really wish I would have been in a different place. And it's not only what you do know, it's also what you don't know that can kill you, that can get you in trouble. Paul, in Acts chapter 19, he comes to the city of Ephesus, and he finds a group of believers who are worshiping God, and he begins to talk to them about their understanding, their level of knowledge, and he asks them, have you heard of the Holy Spirit? No, he says, do you know the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? And they say, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. He goes, well, let me tell you something that you need to know. You have a gap when it comes to your knowledge about the Holy Spirit. Let me help you fill that gap. So he begins to tell them about that gap, who the Holy Spirit is, and then they receive the Holy Spirit, something that they had not had before. They received the person of the Holy Spirit. A recent research study by George Barna, who's one of the main Christian researchers in our nation, showed that more than 60% of born-again Christians, those Christians who confess themselves as being born again, that they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe the Holy Spirit is a force. They believe the Holy Spirit is kind of like a term. They believe the Holy Spirit is maybe like the warm fuzzies that you get up the back of your spine when Alfred, who's playing worship, just really gets that key just right. You know, and then they don't believe that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who lives inside of us who know Jesus Christ, that he actually has taken up residence and he's the one that empowers us to be different. Boy, it's important what you know. It's important that you know some things, because if you don't know some things, you could be in trouble. And if you do know some things, boy, that could be some trouble too if you don't pay attention. So let's just talk for a moment about the knowledge problem. I'd love to encourage you to take notes this morning. I've got a simple outline. There are some notes in front of you, in the seat backs in front of you, that are blanks. So grab those. It'll help you stay awake. It's also a good way to write notes to your spouse if they're here with you. You write on there. And it's also, of course, always on the YouVersion app. If you go to the YouVersion app and just click the Events tab, you'll find our notes today under the Koinonia section, and it's got all the verses and all the good notes. Now, I got a chart here because, you know, charts are fun. Let's talk about all possible knowledge. Some things I know about you, some things I know about me, and some things I know about knowledge. Now, there's that sliver, that smallest sliver, right, this is a very scientific chart, by the way, is what you know. That represents what we know as people, right? All of us have a certain amount of knowledge, a certain amount of information. We know some things, right? And we're pretty sure about that. But notice how small that sliver is. The second sliver is what you don't know. It's a little bit bigger. It's actually quite a bit bigger. I don't know if we look at relatively, it's at least twice as large. What you don't know is twice as large as what you do know, certainly probably more than that. And what's interesting is you can know some things, and then you could know that you don't know some things, but then there's this third section. Is that third section that's so massive is that what you don't know, right? I mean, there's a whole subset of things that you're not even aware that you don't understand them, right? You're not even smart enough to know that you don't know, right? I mean, in the don't know category, like there's some things that I don't understand. When it, like cryptocurrency, everybody's talking about Bitcoin. You know, I don't understand crypto, right? Now, you know, and don't try to explain it to me afterwards. Right, it's not. I'm not asking you to come to explain to you. I'm just saying there's some things, you know, the hash and the cloud and the transactions and the keys and all this kind of garbage stuff. All I know is that I don't really understand the totality of crypto. But then there's this whole other area that I just have no clue about. I'm not. And you've had that experience where you just realize, well, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know that I was supposed to even begin to know that that even existed to begin with. I don't even have a set of questions to ask because there was not, it was like it was invisible to me altogether. So knowledge is a challenge for us. And the question for us this morning, if we're supposed to grow in knowledge, right? Paul, Peter says we need to grow in knowledge. Well, what knowledge do we need to grow in? What are we dealing with here? Well, let me take you back, first of all, to the very beginning, to Genesis. To the very beginning of the knowledge problem when it comes to us as human beings. Because when we're talking about the knowledge problem, it really is part of the human problem. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So two trees in the garden, right? And we all sort of know this. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life seems to indicate immortality, right? That they could eat of the tree of life, and it would just be continual life in health and wholeness and healing. There'd be no wrinkles. There'd be no diseases, right? There's no death. Why? Because the tree of life is fully available for them to eat of at all time. The presence of God is with them. If they have nothing, there's no veil between them and God, and they're gonna. It's a lot like heaven, right? It's going to be for us because there is no sin. And then, but there's this other tree that's in the garden, and it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this one tree is the tree, of course, that God says they're not supposed to eat of. Verse 15, "The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Now, first of all, we all have, those of you that have kids, have had the experience of telling them not to do something. And the very first thing that they want to do is the thing that you tell them not to do. Right? It's part of, exactly. This young man knows exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly right. There's something about being told that you can't do it. You're going, man, why can't I do that? I want to do that thing. You didn't even want to do it before, but now it's like, oh, well, I got to do that thing now. And so we know that there's some of that that's going on in this story. But I think what's interesting also to note is that the Adam and Eve, they're innocent in the sense that there is no sin. There's something that they're missing in terms of knowledge, but they're not dumb. They are given charge of the entire garden. Adam names every animal, right? I mean, so there's a high level of intelligence. There's a high level of engagement. They're not completely, like, you know, naive to every kind of knowledge in the world. They have all kinds of information, but there's a kind of knowledge that they don't have, and that knowledge they receive when they eat of the fruit that they're not supposed to eat. Some things in this life you really wish you didn't know. Some things that we know that I really wish I didn't know that. I really wish I'd never been exposed to that. I really wish I'd never seen that. I really wish I'd never heard that. Isn't that true? I read to you just a couple of weeks ago the story about Corrie ten Boom and her father, and they're on the train, and she's asking a question. It's a question beyond her age about sexuality, and their father says to her, "Corrie, some things are too heavy for children to carry. And so let me carry it for you." There's some things that we're not designed to carry. God knew that. He says there's some things that you don't need to know. And it's represented in this tree that's in the garden. There's all of these things that are their knowledge of good and evil. It's information, but it's not information that's going to help us a whole lot. The next chapter, of course, we have the scene where they actually eat of the fruit. In verse 5, it simply says this. It says, when you eat of it, this is what God is telling Adam and Eve, when you eat of it, this is what the serpent is telling them. When you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So there's some kind of innocence that has been removed once the fruit is taken, the forbidden fruit. There's a naivete. There's a sense of innocence that now is the mask is taken off, and now they see, right? The moment before, they were completely fine that they didn't have clothes, but now it's like, well, this is a problem. And so they begin to sew clothes together out of fig leaves. Why? To cover something that they weren't even aware of before, because it wasn't an issue. And now there's a level of knowledge that they have that they really shouldn't have had to begin with. And that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's when there's the difference between knowledge of good and knowledge of evil. And God, in his perfection, can know both things. But humans, when they are encounter because of our fleshliness, because of our carnality, when we try to embrace knowledge of good and evil, it destroys us. And he says, now that their eyes are open, now that they're fully aware, now I've got to take them out of the garden. Because now they are dangerous to themselves and to everything else. Now something has been introduced to the equation that can destroy them and will destroy the entire earth. That is knowledge of things that they shouldn't have known to begin with. So knowledge can be a problem. It can be disastrous to us if we're not careful. Now, a couple of knowledge need to knows in your notes here. For those of your students, wake up again here, write some notes down. First of all, I want you to know that knowledge is available. Knowledge is available. If you want to learn something, if you want to know something, it is available. We live in a world where knowledge of both good and evil is available. You can find out, thanks to the internet or no thanks to the internet, just about anything, right? And there's some incredible gifts on the internet, and there's some disastrous side alleys that you never want to get on. But if you want to know it, you can find it. And Daniel, in his book, he says that at the end of time, when the end comes, knowledge will increase. It says in Daniel chapter 12:48, knowledge will increase. And boy, we are in a situation in this world where we got more and more knowledge. It's more and more knowledge is produced every day. We're discovering things every day. We're pumping things out every day. We're filming things, and we're writing things, and we're doing things. But I tell you what, knowledge by itself, that's the next thing you want to write down, knowledge by itself is not enough. Right? Knowledge by itself, it's not the goal is not just to get more knowledge, because if you don't have wisdom with your knowledge, then you're in trouble. Just knowing more, that's one of the things that's happening with our teenagers today, is that they have basically kind of a sense of artificial maturity because they know things about things, but they haven't actually experienced things. And so they get on and they see things and they read things and they research things and they think they know, but they really don't know. Because knowledge is not enough, because wisdom is required. Now, the next thing I want you to write down is that more knowledge equals more responsibility. This comes from the theologian, notorious B.I.G. More money, more problems. More knowledge, more responsibility. Right? The more you know, the more you're responsible for. Boy, we could spend a whole message just talking about this. This knowledge piece right here is so critical for us to understand that when you know something, you suddenly, your level of responsibility in regards to that knowledge suddenly goes up. What's the verse I got here? James 4:17. I could give you three or four different verses, but James 4:17 says this. If anyone knows the good, boy, pay attention. If anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. There's something that happens when you become aware of an issue, a problem, a responsibility, and you turn away from it. A lot like that verse we started out with, Hosea. You know, there's a turning away from what you should do, and it's a problem. And one of the things that we've learned as a staff is that when we become aware of things, that we have an opportunity to deal with them. And if we don't deal with them, if we don't do what's right when we become aware of something, then we're going to be in trouble. I remember years ago that we recognized, this is like 15 years ago, we recognized there was a problem with our security in one of the areas of our building. It's on our other campus. And we kind of became aware this was an issue, but we didn't actually do anything about it. And I think it was just a matter of time that something else happened, and then we had a break-in. And there was, you know, theft, and we lost things, and it would have been solved if we just had would taken responsibility for the awareness that we had in that moment. Oh, you don't have a lock on that door. You might want to start locking that door, right? I mean, it's very simple, but it's so true. It's a principle in our lives. When you become aware of something, you need to deal with it. And that's, now, sometimes then we'll say, well, just, I don't want to know. I mean, I say that as a pastor a lot of times, you know, just don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me where the meeting is, don't tell me what time the meeting's at, because then I can just say when they ask me what, I don't know, right? It's so much better when you don't know. So sometimes we'll just want to say, well, the answer to this whole issue is just to know less. But I just want to say that's not exactly what we're trying to say here, right? It just means that as you become aware of things that you learn, because you're always going to learn things. You're always going to get more knowledge. God's going to be revealing things to you. You're going to become aware of things. We were in a conversation the other night. We learned something on, and we're going to have to deal with it. And we're going to just have to deal with it in a healthy way. And so you just have to be able to engage with that issue when it comes along. Okay, so where do you need to grow? Let me just give you these three things. I'm just going to keep it very straightforward. Three things very quickly that your knowledge needs to grow in. And if you want to go deeper in this, I want to encourage you, because I'm not telling you everything that you need to know. We could talk about this subject for lots and lots of time. If you want to go deeper in this, I encourage you, get the material. If you're not in a small group, get into a group, form a group. The materials, the booklets are back at guest services. We'll give them to you. You can watch the videos. Don't miss out on this opportunity to go deeper and to help fill the gap in your life and cooperate with the Spirit. So three things that you need to grow in. First is, and I'm going to give them to you in reverse order. We're going to talk about knowing God, knowing others, and knowing yourself. All right, so the first thing we're going to talk about is knowing yourself. You need to know yourself. You need to know yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this: examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Too many people walking around blind to their own situation, their own life, their own faith. We're distracting ourselves. We're paying attention to the wrong things. We're filling ourselves with entertainment. We're numbing ourselves out with whatever we take to numb ourselves out with, right? He says, examine yourself. Don't be blind. Don't go numb. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. You need to know, be brutally honest about who you are, about your weakness, about your tendencies. We all have terminal tendencies. We all have stuff that we need to deal with. You need to know what's going on. Why do you do the things that you do? Your spouse asks you that all the time, right? Why do you do the things you need to know? Right? You need to understand. David prays to the Lord, Lord, would you test me? And would you know me? Because there's things inside of me that I don't know. So you're going to have to help me understand. You're going to have to reveal to me. So these things are not always obvious to us. And there's a certain level of knowledge that we need to go deeper in terms of spiritual reality, maturity. Roger talked about it last week. If you don't grow up in your understanding of who you are as a person in Christ, then you're going to be in trouble, in trouble. How well do you know yourself? There's lots of ways to go into that, to go deeper into that. There's personality tests. You can ask your spouse if you're really willing to hear. They could tell you a lot about it. But, you know, why do you do the things that you do? When are you vulnerable? What are your weak points and places? Sometimes we put ourselves into situations that we really should know that if we put ourselves in that situation, we're just going to stumble. We're going to fall right into that thing again, and yet we just walk into it blindly, right? If we're smart, we would actually pay attention, and we would adjust. Roger, you got any openings at King's Counseling Center for people that need to know more about themselves? Counseling is one of the tools that you can use, but the Holy Spirit will talk to you if you ask him, if you pay attention, if you're willing, know yourself. Now, I'm not talking about getting so self-focused. The goal is not knowing yourself so you can make yourself happy, right? It's know yourself so you can be more useful to the kingdom of God. Know yourself so you can be a blessing to your family. Know yourself so your marriage can be strengthened. Know yourself so you can build a righteous generation. There's a reason why we're doing this. So you need to know yourself. Secondly, you need to know others, right? Jesus, when they asked him, what's the most important thing? He said, know God, know others. Love God, love others. Love your neighbor, he said, as yourself. So knowing other people is really critical for us. John 8:15. These two things, I don't think they're on the screen. I want you to write them down. And just ideas here about knowing others. We can do all the personality profiles, and I encourage you to do that. If you're married, you need to study one another. And when I say study one another, I don't mean like critique one another. I mean like learn each other's strengths, learn each other's weaknesses, so that you can work with each other. But so many times we just ignore the other person, and then we're frustrated when they don't do the things that we want them to do instead of caring for them and loving them and adjusting to them. The best way to communicate with someone else is to communicate with them the way that they like to be communicated to, right? Not everybody likes to be talked at really fast. Not everybody just likes to get right to the point. Some people, they want to take a little while. So let's take a little while. You know, let's adjust ourselves to other people. Two things I want you to write down. How we can know people. We tend to know people according to the flesh or according to the spirit. And this is as believers, we need to know the difference. We tend to know as human beings people according to the flesh. That is, we see them, we see their humanity. We see their weakness. We see what we think is who they are, and because of that, we judge them. And judging them actually prevents us from receiving the things that they have for us that are beneficial to us. This is what John 8:15 says. This is Jesus speaking. He says, you judge according to the flesh. He says, I judge no one. What? Jesus is always saying stuff that you really have to ask what to, right? What do you mean, Jesus? Well, you got to dig into that just a little bit. But he says, you judge according to the flesh. In other words, you see me in a fleshly realm. That's why when Jesus went back to his hometown, it says he could do no mighty miracle there. Why? Because they knew him. They saw him grow up. They assumed things about him. And therefore, it kept them from, here is God in the flesh, and they couldn't see it because they were too familiar with him. Because they knew him according to the flesh. He says, there's a different way of knowing people. We need to know people according to the Spirit. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. When you know somebody according to the flesh, what that means oftentimes, for example, is just take me for example, I'm sorry. There's certain things that you know about me because I stand up here and I talk a lot of words. Proverbs says, in a multitude of words, there is sin. I have no doubt that I have said some things over time, and if I haven't, I certainly will, that at some point will offend you, will surprise you, will confuse you. Sometimes I will misspeak, I'll use a wrong word, I'll have a word that will slip that I shouldn't use. There's all kinds of things. Now, when you, that's a fleshly thing, right? But I will tell you, This house is anointed, right? And so when someone stands up here, I'm not talking about me, when someone stands up here and speaks the word of God, there's an anointing of life that is going to communicate to your spirit that will give you fresh bread for you to live your life, right? It will give you fresh food to sustain you in this season. Now, if you judge according to the flesh, you'll say, Andrew said X, Y, Z, and all the other things that were life-giving, you'll miss. Because there will be some other stuff that, because I am a human being, right, as anyone is. I'll get something wrong. I'll say a wrong reference. I'll parse a word incorrectly. I'll say, you know, and you'll hear that according to the flesh. You'll go, oh, man, forget that guy. And then you won't be able to receive the words of life that are from the Spirit. Those didn't come from me. But because you judge according to the, you getting what I'm saying? Because we do this all the time to each other. We judge each other according to the flesh. We see other people's weakness and we go, I can't. Well, you know how it is. I know what they're telling me is right, but I just can't receive it. Because they are who they are. Right? Right? Isn't that true? Because I know them too much. And so then somehow we dismiss the very words that could be life-giving for us because we know according to the flesh. So you need to know others, but let's know others according to the Spirit. All right? And thirdly, know God. Know God. You guys give me like two or three more minutes here. I know we're a little... Know God. See how there was like no response right there? Get in the Spirit, people. Get in the Spirit. Know God. You can have a basic level of awareness about God. All of us do. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, the whole entire world has an opportunity to know God. Every person on the planet. He says from the very foundation of the world, from the creation of time, that when people look at the world around us, the sky, the nature itself, it testifies of the reality of God. That all of us have access to a basic level understanding of God. Now, many of us ignore that. Right? We know that many, many times people turn away from that. But there's a basic level awareness, a basic level knowing that's available to all of us. But there's another level of knowing that we have to go to as Christians, as followers of Christ, and that is knowing Jesus. Right? Not just knowing about God, not just doing the right things, but actually knowing Jesus. John 17:3, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Now, catch this. The knowing that John is talking about here is what we do in this world, it's the same thing the Greeks did, is we equate knowing God with like religious mysticism. Like we're gonna have an experience. We're going to get in God's presence. Now, I love God's presence, so you got to hear beyond what just a simplistic understanding of what I'm saying. We equate spirituality. That's why we have separated spirituality from faith, from true faith. Everybody's spiritual these days, right? I'm a spiritual person. I don't think you understand what spiritual means, right? So we have, our culture tells us that knowing God is equivalent with basically sort of like an ecstatic or mystical union with God. If I could just get caught up in him, if I could get the warm fuzzies up the tingly spine, then I'm knowing God. Well, let me tell you, that's not what John meant when he said, know Jesus. What he meant was to know Jesus is to be aligned with his will. That is to know Jesus. It's not to feel Jesus's presence. It's not to know his word and be able to quote it. It's not to do nice things. It is to be aligned with the will of God. Why do we know that? Well, Jesus says, look at me, and what I do, I see the Father doing. He says, when he prays, when the disciples ask him how to pray, what does he say? Not my will, but your will. You want to know Jesus, you do what he says. The very basic, actually it's not even basic, the advanced level course here of how to fill the gaps in your faith is simply to do what Jesus tells you to do. If we would stop just reading stuff and telling each other nice ideas, if we just start being obedient, everything would change. We would suddenly know God. And we need to know God. Do you know God? Are you being obedient to him? Are you living your life in alignment with him? Are you saying yes, not to the ideas, but to like what he's telling you to do? Because when we begin to do that, we'll find suddenly there's an open door. Suddenly we'll begin, our life will begin to change. There'll be power for something different. If you want to change in your life, you want to grow, you want to fill the gap in your knowledge, you got to start cooperating with the Holy Spirit and do what he says. Would you stand to your feet? Where are your knowledge gaps today? Some of us need to know more. All of us need to know more. Some of us need to know less. You need to maybe know yourself a little bit deeper. Start getting serious about cooperating with the Spirit when he's telling you, hey, you need to go deeper than just surface level. You need to spend some time knowing others. Most of all, you need to know God. Bow your heads. Do you know God? Are you in alignment with him? Maybe right now you just need to raise your hand and say, you know what, Lord, I need to get in alignment with you. If that's your response, you're just saying, Lord, there's some things I know you've been talking to me about. I need to say yes to you. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Lord, we want to get in alignment with you, Jesus. Those things that are in our lives that you've been talking to us about, we don't want to ignore them anymore. We don't want to go to the left or the right. We don't want to be distracted. Lord, would you please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you help us to be obedient to what you said? Lord Jesus, would you help us to be obedient by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would walk differently, that we walk away from things that we need to walk away from, that we say yes to you. Lord, I just pray that there would be an open heaven as we begin to walk in alignment with you, that it would shift some things in our life, in our family, that it would shift some things in this church, make us a people who are walking in alignment with you. Lord, I pray today for every person in the house, for their families that are represented. God, would you fill the gaps of our faith? Would you help us to cooperate with you? We don't want to miss what you're doing in this season. So we're asking you, Lord, would you please, would you shake us up? Would you stir us up? Would you keep us focused on you? I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchanford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.